Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is using plain English to make it clear that the Fed is not letting up in its fight against inflation and that the remedy will hurt. I'm David Brancaccio. Yesterday, the Fed raised interest rates another half of a percentage point in an effort to cool demand and push down prices. And there's more to come. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer was at the Fed's briefing yesterday and joins us from Washington now. Nancy, how expensive could it become to borrow in America?
Well, the Fed issued some economic projections yesterday, David, and it is predicting its benchmark federal funds rate will soar above 5% next year. And there is a risk the Fed could cool off the economy too much and cause a recession. The Fed is projecting very anemic economic growth next year of just 0.5%. But Powell says it's still positive growth and not a recession. He also said, though, that nobody knows if we're going to slip into a recession.
And there's a word, stagflation. That's when economic growth stagnates, but inflation doesn't go away. Is that in the cards?
Powell sure hopes not. Stagflation is really tricky because the Fed has to balance its two jobs of keeping inflation under control and making sure as many people are working as possible. I asked Powell about stagflation yesterday, and he told me the Fed will keep its focus on forcing down inflation because it's way above the Fed's 2% target while the labor market is still strong.
Where we're missing is on the inflation side, and we're missing by a lot on the inflation side. So that means we need to really focus on getting inflation under control, and that's what we'll do.
So the Fed will keep raising interest rates, dampening demand, cooling off the economy, maybe pushing the economy into a recession, but that is generally seen as the cure for stagflation.
And Powell's quite blunt that his campaign throws people out of work in the near term, even if it preserves jobs in the longer run.
Yeah, and the Fed is predicting the unemployment rate will rise to 4.6% next year. Powell says he wishes there were a painless way to bring down inflation, but there just isn't.
All right, Nancy, thank you. There's news just now. The British Central Bank is raising its rates 0.5 percentage point, and the European Central Bank will have its announcement any minute now. The collapsed cryptocurrency firm FTX, we now know, was using the small business software QuickBooks for its accounting, the kind you can buy at Staples. In Washington, lawmakers are looking at how to bring new regulation to crypto in general, a technology that had been built in part to work outside of normal regulatory systems. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
One new bill in the Senate aims to crack down on the use of cryptocurrencies for illicit activities. It's sponsored by Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren and Republican Roger Marshall. It would direct the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network to designate cryptocurrency exchanges and others in that industry as money service businesses. That in turn would put those businesses under regulations which banks and other financial institutions must follow, requiring them to verify customer identities, keep records, and file reports of certain transactions. The aim is to reduce the anonymity of transactions in cryptocurrencies so they're not favored by ransomware hackers and others. Another bipartisan bill, expected in the Senate next year, would, among other things, categorize the two biggest cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and Ether, as commodities, with relevant regulatory obligations in order to conduct trades, such as capital requirements and the protection of customer funds. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Washington, D.C. could soon become the largest U.S. city where you ride the bus for free within D.C. city limits and bus, not Metro Rail. It would cost more than $40 million a year, and if it passes a second city council vote, D.C. would join Albuquerque, Kansas City, and Boston that went to free transit during the pandemic. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more.
Right now, a ride on the D.C. Metro bus costs $2. City Councilman Charles Allen wants to relieve riders of that expense.
When it feels like the cost of everything is going up these days, being able to take that transit cost just off the table, for working families, it's hard to overstate how impactful that can be.
He hopes eliminating fares will also boost bus ridership, which is hovering around 80% of pre-pandemic levels.
The more people that we can get on our transit, the more people out of, you know, driving individual cars on our roads that just keep adding to congestion, the better.
D.C. isn't the only city rethinking the role of its transit system. Sarah Kaufman is with NYU's Rudin Center for Transportation.
What the pandemic has brought is a kind of existential question about whether public transit is an essential service.
Like the public library or the fire department, which aren't expected to bring in revenue to cover their costs. In lots of cities, Kaufman says fares bring in just a small fraction of the transit budget to begin with. But ditching fares isn't always enough to entice riders.
If you really want to get people to think of the bus as a good alternative compared to a taxi or their own vehicle, you need to provide a real viable alternative.
Meaning a bus that's clean and safe and runs frequently and on time. DC's zero fare proposal would also invest $10 million in improving bus service. But many other pilot programs rely on free rides alone. Yona Freemark with the Urban Institute says boosting ridership shouldn't be the only goal.
You can ensure that people have access to the jobs and other needs they have around their community.
And reduce conflict over fares.
Frankly, we have a history of arresting people who don't pay fares.
Freemark says even if these programs aren't getting more people to choose public transit, they're promoting equity for people who've always relied on it. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
If before you went, is Boston really smaller than D.C.? I rechecked. The District of Columbia's population is just slightly larger than the city of Boston's, and the Washington metro area is much larger, 6.4 million now versus 4.9 million for Beantown plus its burbs. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. May PM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.